Hey, welcome to Made for More. My name is Aaron Burke. This is your monthly leadership podcast that we release new content on the first Wednesday of every month. And so we're so glad you're listening to this, or maybe you're watching this on YouTube. Make sure you give us a review. It helps people know about it and share it so that more people can listen to this. And I love hearing the responses. Thanks for tagging me on Instagram or sending me a message there on Facebook or Twitter. We love hearing what God is doing in your life to help you become a better leader. This is a unique podcast because this month we're actually on location. We are at our annual staff advance. We take away our 90-something staff on an annual retreat, and we don't call it a retreat because we don't retreat, we advance. And so we are away for 3 days, and on this advance we have Pastors Joe and Lori Champion, who are some of the great leaders in the nation. They started an incredible church in 2000 in Austin, Texas, called Celebration Church. And so one of the great churches in America. And they're here today, and we're going to talk all things working with your spouse. One of the very first times, and y'all don't know this, the very first times I met them was at an ARC event, a church planning event years ago. And Katie and I sat in a session with you guys talking about your workflow together. And I remember Katie and I getting so inspired and realizing, man, you guys have created a unique flow. Mm-hmm. So before we get into that, a little bit about your life. How long you've been married? How many kids? When did you move to Austin? Give us a little story.
Okay, we have been married for almost 32 years. Wow. And our first date, he preached, I sang. We've been ministering together ever since. We have three boys. I'm a boy mom. And 30, 25, 22. The oldest is married, has an incredible wife, Caroline. And then the second one is about to get married at the end of this month. So we are growing our family. We're balancing out the boy-girl situation.
Yeah. And then 22 years ago, this coming October, moved to Austin.
Wow.
And it's a weird city. It's a growing city, but we've been wired for it, and we've just been daily grinding it out, you know, just trying to reach a city that is actually in many ways anti-Bible. We're not in the Bible Belt, as a lot of people think in Texas. It's going to be an easy reach. People move to Austin and then de-church and de-Christ and de-everything. And so we love where we've been called, and we're seeing some cool things happen there.
All right, before we get into the content, I like to ask some fun questions. Okay. So I'll just throw some out there at you. Favorite cereal?
Captain Crunch.
What about you, Lori?
Lucky Charms.
Very good. Okay. Yes. Here's a question that is a little bit controversial. If you had to eliminate a fast food restaurant off the face of the planet to do a service to the rest of the world, like nobody has to eat there ever again, what would you eliminate?
Jack in the Box.
Now, people in Florida don't know Jack in the Box, but if you're in Louisiana, Texas, you know Jack in the Box. Why Jack in the Box?
It's already been eliminated in Florida.
See, that's why we're here.
Yeah, Jack's has also got some interesting commercials. They're like GoDaddy advertisements, man.
Really?
They're like hardcore. Like, get a burger and a girl. I mean, so I would agree with that. Some guys are like, no, that's a great place. For me, what would we attack in the form of fast food restaurants? I guess the only thing I can think of is Wendy's. I think they should just go into the ice cream business. I haven't been to one in 10 years. So just do the Frosties.
The Frosties are really good. You haven't been to Wendy's recently.
No, I have not.
It's upped its game a little bit. I like Wendy's.
They're good people.
That is awesome. All right, last, any good show that you've just binge watched? Y'all go, this is our show. Maybe something we do.
Lori loves Tiger King.
Tiger King.
No, I did not watch
LSU
that
Tigers.
Show.
She thought it was an LSU Tiger program. Yes. But any shows, we love all things British. We love all things in that genre, BBC. We loved Endeavor, which was one of the
like
shows.
A mystery crime drama.
Oh, very
cool. We like British.
We love anything
I haven't got into the British
motherland.
Shows. I will have to figure those out.
You got to have a soft. You got to have a different side though. You got to channel your intellectual side.
Well, Joe, you're such a manly man. To hear that you're into the British.
Actually, I have
romance.
A minor in theater, and that shocks people. Yeah. So I love all things like
He's
that.
He's a Renaissance.
I love
man.
Theater. I love live. I love so anyway.
All right. Well, we are talking all things working with your spouse. Yeah. So you started the church. Kind of. Let's start at the early. early days, what was the flow of you guys? Because this is a dream y'all both had,
yes.
Both called in the ministry.
That's right.
There's people listening. They're both starting this business. Yeah. They're both starting some ministry. They're both starting a nonprofit. How did it start with y'all?
Well, we had for 10 years been in ministry. We were married. And as Lori said, our first date was she sang, I preached. And then our first several years of ministry, and really for the first 10, we didn't work together. I senior pastored a church where they were not at all wanting to have Lori involved or me to even talk to Lori after the day.
After in fact, meetings.
Yeah, they didn't want me to go, you know, you tell your wife too much. You tell your wife what's going on.
Wow.
And I said, well, who am I supposed to talk to? Because I don't like you. And I need somebody. So there was some actual interesting things that happened in the past that we could see really clearly that God was trying to, well, he wanted us to be together, but we also saw where there was a real attack upon us doing ministry, doing business together. And we actually compliment, we love working together.
Yeah.
And so it started off like that. And then we moved to Austin. The good news is we both had the word that we were to move to Austin, plant a church. And I think that's a priority because a lot of people do get in the ministry or they go into that business and the spouse, one of them is like, I don't want to do this or this is something I don't feel called to do. And boy, you both have to be in it, especially in the early days.
Yes.
I think one of the things that you had a revelation was like the Lord kind of spoke to you about Joseph and Mary, how it took both of them to birth the vision, which was God. And he said, Lori, your family, I'm five generations of ministry. So he said, your family, we're living under their prayers. We're going to reap a harvest because of what they prayed. And so he said, you know, I think that God's uniquely gifted us and it's time for you to come out from behind the scenes ministry to lead alongside me. And we're gifted very differently. Sure. I mean, Joe's the lead visionary communicator. I'm the lead strategy implementer. My background is more business marketing background. And so we just realize what our gifts were. Now, we didn't start with a launch team, so it was just us and three kids that did not help at all. And so it was all hands on deck. We were doing anything and everything. We were leading worship together. I'd get off the piano and he'd start preaching and I'd take all the kids to the next room and do kids ministry. And so we did a lot of things outside of our strength zone at that time. But now, all these years later, we're able to, you know, we have a great team that surrounds us, but we're really able to complement each other. And one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. I think when you're running individually in your calling, that there's just the favor of the Lord and there's an exponential result out of that.
I love that. Let's go back to the early days because what you said was so crucial. That's at the early days, it's just kind of all hands on deck.
Yeah.
And what I find sometimes when people get into business together, start the church together, they try to define the roles real early.
Right.
So y'all didn't do that.
No. It was very organic.
No.
Very organic.
Yes. Nobody's given up more roles than we have. Like,
right.
As Lori has been the kids director, she's been the music director, she was the
youth director,
the comm director, the youth director.
Everything.
Well, we give these things up, and there's just nothing that we don't. Are not willing to do.
Yeah.
And as it was with you, planning a church, we set up the chairs at 4 in the morning. I'm rolling out of my garage with a trailer, me and Albert, when we started the church. And when you read books about Michael Dell and some of the other guys that have started companies, especially we know his story in Austin, and he said there was just not a day that he did not have to engage.
Right.
And he said, anybody that's planning a business or planning a church, he said, if you think this is going to be easy and you can do it part-time, but you also have to be flexible.
Yes.
So we'll say, blessed are the flexible, for they shall remain standing.
Yes.
So there were a lot of Sundays in a room like this conference room that could be a wedding the night before happening.
Yeah.
We'd have to come in and get the beer and get the champagne. Half my launch team was drinking the beer and the champagne. But we were willing and able to do whatever was necessary.
Yeah.
And we have to flow like that.
Was it hard for you, Lori, to not have it as a defined role at the beginning or have clarity, or you were just always kind of, I'll roll with the punches?
I think because I come from a family of church planners, I knew what I was in for. That's why when the Lord spoke to us to plan, I was like, oh no, you know, like we had 54 in our first Sunday. I didn't think that was bad.
Right.
You know, we didn't have social media to compare to other people. You know, I was like, Absolutely. Oh my gosh, my parents took 5 years to have 54 people. So my expectations were not so big that they were unreachable. In fact, God has done above and beyond what we ever even dreamed of.
Right.
And so I was willing to do that and for the long haul. And it's been awesome that God has over time. I was just talking to a young woman on your staff, and I think that we're so in the moment, we're so quick, and in your 20s, you think, gosh, if God doesn't do something by the time I'm 25, if I'm not in that perfect position. And I was like, you know, it was a walk. It was very organic, right. Especially for women. You have to multitask a bit more. And so you're sometimes being a mom as well and, you know, doing all these different roles. And so it, for me, it was great because God was developing me in those times.
Right.
It seems so long then, and you look back and it's a blink. It's like, that wasn't so bad.
Right.
You know, and this is what I learned for the next season in that season.
Yeah. How did y'all balance in those early days? So you're working together, you're working in the church, plus you're raising three young boys.
When we planted, they were 8, 4, and even a year. Yeah. 8 months.
How do you navigate that?
Yeah.
It was hard.
And we didn't know anybody.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, we literally did not know anybody in our city. And so we immediately met everybody we met. We invited over to eat and would share the vision and that kind of thing. But we immediately had to just develop family friends. And God provided for us. I mean, I remember one time, though, hiring a neighbor girl just so I could take a nap because we were so exhausted. And it didn't, if we look back, it didn't look that good. We put our kids in front of the TV too much, you know, like.
We didn't have devices, but they had a console.
Sure.
There were too many late nights or picking them up from school and then taking them straight to the office where they'd, you know, sit there and try to play in Legos or whatever. But it didn't last forever.
Right.
And we knew that we had to just dig in and have tunnel vision about it right then. And then God would bring people around us, and he brought some great people around us.
And there are things that we couldn't do, like keep a house spotless.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, in other words, yes, we all love the Chip and Joanna stories and the pictures of great homes, and
right.
they look awesome. But when you're in a church planting phase, especially with three little boys and you don't know anybody, my mother said to me one day, and I don't come from a church background. They were for us and they were wonderful, but they don't get it. They were just wondering,
right.
how do you plant a church? Aren't those for the apostles and the Pope? And so one day my mom's visiting us in Austin. She says,
Easter week.
So this is the big
right,
week.
We're
going to hit 70 this week. And my mother says, you know, Joe, and my mother was a great housekeeper and homemaker, if you want to call her that, but she was. And she says, you know, Joe, Lori's not teaching the boys how to keep a clean house. And she needs to do better about how to keep the boys,
wow.
or how to teach the boys to be cleaner and keep the house neater. And I was talking to Lori about that. I said, you know what my mom said? And of course, Lori came back and she said, well, your mother did not teach her boys how to serve God.
Wow.
And I went, drop the mic. I'm not going to tell her that. But the truth is, in any field, if it's a military, you know, when a military family is moving and they're now new on a base, or they're a new family is starting a company or whatever all that looks like, we all have seasons. And we just have to be okay with the house not looking the way you want it to look, because there are bigger jobs being done at that time. So there, it's like you said, it didn't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And but at the same time, it wasn't easy, but it was fun and it engaged the kids. And to this day, our boys are biggest fans of the church. They love the church. They love, we engage them in the process. And we also let them enjoy the fruits of our labor. We made sure we did good trips. We would try to go as much as we can to places that we could afford, which was Six Flags for the first 10 years.
Sure.
And they never want to visit anything with a flag again. But anyway, all that to be said, it works out, and it is part of life.
Okay, so let's talk about the discovery process from that. You're doing everything to now really figuring out your sweet spots. Like, how did y'all come up with where y'all are at now?
Yeah.
And leading the church, what roles does each person have?
Yeah.
Is that something y'all talk through?
Sure.
Did y'all have an outside voice speaking to that?
Well, I'm a big picture person, and I'm going to have I've never been diagnosed with it, but I have ADD or some kind of situation. And so I have a big picture. I love the Word. I can study all day, but put me in front of a spreadsheet and start talking about budget and projections and all of the details. It just wasn't my cup of tea. And then Laura, you like and live in that detailed world and implementing. So I say it like this. Give me a frame. I can paint the picture. Y'all can do the framing. Mm-hmm. And that's been kind of the way we operated.
I think that I was hesitant. I wanted to be an attorney, even though I'm five generations of ministry. I wanted to be an attorney. When I was a little girl, I had a business plate, a name plate on my door. I was always pretending like I was doing business. So I've been a business person in my mind all my life. And I never had seen that in a woman in ministry.
Wow.
And so even when I went to college and got my undergraduate, it was in advertising. And so my dad said, "You'll never use that in ministry." You know, and it was the greatest thing ever because now we have the whole communications teams. And so, and that marketing background, I love looking at numbers. I love looking at how things work. And so before we had some great people that ended up joining our team, but I was always behind the scenes giving them the strategies because I have all this ministry history.
Sure.
And then I have business sense. And so as those people wouldn't work out and we'd hire somebody else, Harvard degree guy, you know, and I'm feeding them information and then they didn't work out. They didn't have the heart for the church. And Joe said, "Laura, you're not just the best woman for the job. You're the best leader for this job."
Wow.
And so you need to just own it and step into it.
I think it's really important because you really called that out in her and celebrated that in her.
Yes. And that's a key. The word celebrate. We've never competed but completed each other.
Yeah.
We do know of situations and it's just partly and it's part of the journey for a lot of people is that there's a competition and and one's threatened by the strength of another. There's that little line when Joseph and Mary and that even the birthing of Christ, if you will. God said to Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary." In other words, don't be afraid to link. Don't be afraid to merge. Don't be afraid. In other words, This is of me. And so we are very aware. And when you know you have a word on it, when you know that we are wired to be together, but we're also wired to do our particular jobs, that's probably half the battle is just being aware that, you know what, this is how God has wired us.
Yeah.
And so as we would also say, you know, a woman doing her conference, like her conference, it's going to have thousands and thousands, women conference. Guys, quit trying to compete against your wife if you're a church trying to do the same kind of conference. It ain't going to work.
Nope.
They just are always going to have a better conference. But celebrate that.
Yeah.
Rejoice with it because her wins are my wins. And and the great thing about it is we share the load and it really has, I think, been a key to, 32 years of ministry.
And you asked about, you know, other people speaking into it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had consultants come in and we're like, lay it out. Like, fire me if you want me to fire me. I think it's really important in that husband-wife dynamic that you do have people speaking into that and
it's
that
really
nobody's really territorial about it.
Yeah.
And I think that the best thing that I do is bring people to the table that are better than me, that are more experienced than me. I used to do it all. And now we have brilliant, brilliant people at the table that do so much more than we could have ever done by ourselves. But it's because I'm not threatened by them and I'm not ambitious. I had to be pulled into it to begin with. And so I think that we have, we talk to a lot of husband and wife couples that are doing ministry together. And if we are like holding on, we have a grip on something that we're just passionate about, it's going to hijack the church.
Right.
Unless God has uniquely gifted and called you to it. I mean, it can be a nepotism situation unless you're really called to it and you fulfill the role that you're called to fulfill. Like I was just telling somebody, as an executive director, pastor, there's a lot of things that I can't take home to my husband. He's a senior pastor.
Right.
I have to work it out.
Right.
If I take it home to Joe, first of all, it's burdens that he doesn't need to walk through until it's handled. But secondly, he's going to pick up the phone and deal with it himself.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, now my husband had to come in and save the day.
Right.
Like I have to kind of disconnect and go, what would I do if I worked for another senior pastor.
Yeah, we don't make out in the room. We don't make out. Like, yeah, we don't.
You don't get all those marriage perks for that experience.
Yeah, yeah, we tell people, and we have several staff that are married, that you're not. You're married, but you're not married at work. Like, this is not make
out. That's a huge, huge boundary that I love your, Lori, even your self-awareness in that of bringing other people in and going, listen, if I'm not the best for the job, let us know. Like, that's a huge point. And what I'm hearing is for years, you were kind of the behind the scenes engine of it all. But, and y'all kept trying to put people in that spot and it didn't work. And then finally it was just like, it was identified that you're it. And then you step into that role and it's thrived. And I think it's been, it's such a unique thing. I think there is the place where I see couples try to do ministry together, and whether it's him or her, there is a lack of maybe ability or self-awareness in that situation. I mean, what's your
being
advice?
Being married does not make you capable for that job. Just because you're married to the pastor or married to...
That's very important for people to know.
Does not give you the right, nor does it give you the gifting. And it's okay not to be. It's fine. Right. We have friends, as we all do, whether in business or in ministry, whose wives are not involved, but they have a different calling. They have a different lane. But we also see where there's a struggle in that as well. Because I am married to the pastor, I want to be the co-pastor, or I want to be seen as a co-communicator. And frankly, just because you're married to him or her doesn't mean you can speak, and doesn't
that
mean that
huge.
You can communicate or sing.
Yep.
So stop. Just stop. Don't even play the tambourine.
But we're all called to have like a great marriage that we're showing our church. We're called to, you know, like be a mom of the house, and that that's awesome. Like, I embrace that. But I would be doing this for somebody else if I wasn't married to him. If I was a single girl coming out of school, I would be doing this because that's God's gift set in me. That's my heritage. That's my education. That's my experience. And so you've just got to know what you're really great at. And as a, I mean, if I didn't have, if we didn't have the great team, like executive team around us, I couldn't lead at this level anymore because our church has grown so much. We need other people to do it, but I'm open-handed.
Right.
And I think that that's really, really important. I loved being a worship pastor, but there was a time that I was like, you know what? I'm not the best worship pastor. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want people to come here and see me leading worship and think, oh, you have to be in the family to be a worship
Very
pastor.
Good. That is
okay,
some
I want
great
to make
wisdom.
Room for some other worship leaders, and I'm just one of the team. And I'm modeling that to the rest of the team, because in a growing church, you're always having to let go of things and slide and glide and be refined in your role and redefined in your role. So
I love that. All right, so we only have about 5 minutes left. I want to know some rules, some boundaries. Because if the ultimate goal is that you love Jesus and you actually love your spouse, you know, ministry is important, but not the thing. How do you work together and have a healthy marriage?
I think, well, first, the Bible tells us, as we often hear, guys love that scripture, wives submit to your husband. But the Bible before that gives us submit to one another.
Right.
So we are mutually submitted to each other. I don't play the power card over her. Now, I'm ultimately responsible for decisions, and we believe the biblical model for how God has ordered man and woman to be in a home. But at the same time, we're mutually submissive to each other, and we're looking for truth. We're looking for reality. Mm-hmm. We go home at night, and we might have conversations about some things that need to be addressed at the house. But now, of course, we can do more of that. The boys are all gone. But back in the day, if we were on a date night, and we would try to schedule our date nights, we weren't always on every Thursday night, and that works for some people. Yeah. We just did our best as it relates to flow, but we might have a conversation for 10 minutes about a situation and then stop. Okay, enough about church. Let's begin to realize that we can't just live in that space the whole time. So I think we did pretty well as far as making sure that the fun was scheduled, and that we had our downtime and we had our other things that helped us to decompress.
Yeah, this isn't a two-headed thing, and it's not two doing the job of one. And so sometimes when we've hired couples together, it's like all of a sudden you hire a couple and then somebody has to run to Walmart to get some stuff for the event and both of them are going. Or somebody has to minister to somebody and both of them are ministering. we're a divide and conquer at the office.
Or one would get sick and we found out, or one would not be able to do the job and we found out actually one was doing the job for both of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like one was covering.
I have seen that.
They were covering for the other one. It's like,
So our church deserves two whole people that are functioning well in their calling. And then also our staff, we want to make sure that our staff doesn't pit us against each other. There used to be a time where, like, you know, Joe wouldn't know the context of something and somebody's going to them with a budget request. And then all of a sudden they're throwing, you know, $10,000 on a staff credit card. And you're like, wait, what is that?
Right.
And so, oh, well, this one says yes on this and this one says yes on that. So we were like, no, unapologetically, we did not allow that. And so we're really good at, if somebody comes to me, I'll say, that's a Joe question. Joe's like, that's a Lori question.
It's like parenting.
You know?
Having three boys, you know, always trying to figure out who would be the weak or the soft.
And right.
We were always trying to be on the same page.
I mean, the benefit is that there's this ultimate trust that you have the same vision, that you're for the same thing. That you know each other's blind spots and you can speak into those blind spots. But there are times that I was just telling the female staff, I said, send your husband a sweet text at the end of the day, which I know I have to do that more. But like switch it from work mode to home.
I got to unblock you first.
Mode. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So there are some things that you need to do, but we're not so legalistic that, don't bring that up, it's date night. Don't bring that up, it's after, you know, we're at home. Like, sometimes it's like, let's work this out. Let's go to Starbucks before we go to the restaurant and hash out what's happening at work.
That's great.
And then the other thing is, you don't really, like I was sort of saying before, I don't get the benefit of going home and saying, oh, I had a, you know, jerk staff member today that I had to deal with and all this, like, you're going to have other people, like other people in ministry that do your role, that are trusted friends that you speak to. We had a couple that had a moral failure years ago. And so I had to call attorneys. I had to talk to consultants. I had everything in place before he even knew about it.
Wow.
Because as my role, that's what my role is supposed to be.
Yep.
And so anybody else that held that role would have to do that. And so we're just very self-governing in that way, and we all ultimately have the vision of our marriage being incredible for our kids, for ourselves, for our kids, for our church. That's the greatest thing that we can give to them as an example, as a model, so we protect that.
I think it's really important, as you're sharing with the Radiant staff, is, you know, celebrating 20 years at the church, what, a year or two ago, and, you know, people coming up to you, you've built some unbelievable buildings, built a phenomenal church that's impacting the world, and yet what people honored most about y'all is your example in marriage and your healthy marriage, and it shows that y'all have put intentional work behind that.
A lot of ministry, and I could say this also for your business people, their customers are watching. They may not talk to you and Katie, but they're watching you and Katie talk to people.
Wow,
and
that's very good.
And that feeds them. They're sitting in the back, people that we've all tried to maybe meet and connect to, but they're good, but they're watching you take care of people, and that is a blessing to them. So we all don't realize how many people are watching, and they're fueled and they are comforted in how we relate. We know some friends over the years where they never sat together as husbands and wives, and that, frankly, probably set something into the fabric of that church. It's like, well, I don't ever see them together. It must be okay for us not to be together. And so we all have to be aware. In fact, one of the messages we talked to your staff about is that David was a man of good presence, or David in 1 Samuel says that he was good looking or good to look at. But the point is, he was very aware of the image that he was bringing in front of people.
Very good. Yeah.
And the image of Christ is very important. Yeah.
This has been a fascinating conversation with Joe and Lori Champion. You can check out all their information. Obviously, you can check out Celebration Church there in Austin. And I'm excited about the couples that are listening to this, that are sharing this right now and trying to navigate this. And so hopefully this has helped you. Thank you for listening to Made for More. New content, first Wednesday of every month. Let me know how this has helped you. Share it with a friend. And I hope you are becoming a better leader.